speaking with Bob Porter about the passing of Aretha Franklin. Bob, first of all, tell me your reaction to her no longer being around. Well, what does that mean to the world of music?
Well, I think in many respects, it's been over for a while in the sense that she's been ill and everybody has pretty well known she's been ill. But her passing itself is just, you know, it's another icon that's departed. And it's very sad.
She touched so many genres of music, and we've been speaking with a number of people today, but she did love jazz.
Oh, look, did you ever hear the album Quincy Jones made with her? She does a wonderful version of Moody's Mood for Love. And she could sing standards. Her early Columbia work is mostly singing standards and doing a wonderful job with it.
What was it about Aretha that you enjoyed?
Well, everything. I mean, she was just one of the transcendent voices of our time. I don't think there's any other way of putting it. She could sing anything and did. You know, she made her first record when she was 14. It was a gospel album. It was one of three albums of gospel material she made. She made one for Atlantic and one for Arista. And the very first one was done for Chess when she was 14 years old. And she sings on that 14 years old, like, oh, just heavenly. She's just amazing.
So many young people, even today's youngsters, they don't gravitate to singers from the past. But it's been different with Aretha. A lot of the popular singers of today have that respect for Aretha Franklin.
I think it's proper. I think it's also similar to the way people felt about Ray Charles as a male singer, for example. One of a kind and not somebody that you can easily duplicate.
What would you say about her voice that made the difference?
Well, given it the voice is fine by itself, but it's the influences, the gospel influences, the soul influences, the blues and jazz influences, all wrapped into a wonderful gumbo, you know.
What was your favorite performance that she ever did?
I don't know that I have one, and for somebody like that, I think it's foolish to try and single out one. But the early Atlantics, you know, Atlantic, they always talk about the producing team of Ertegun and Wexler. But by the time she comes aboard, Ahmet is involved more with the British pop and the West Coast rock stuff. And Jerry is the R&B guy at Atlantic, and it's Jerry who signs Aretha. And when somebody said, what are you going to do with her? And he said, we're going to put her back in church. And essentially, that's what he did. He'd been working in some of the Southern studios, Memphis and the Muscle Shoals. And he took her to Muscle Shoals, and they came back with I Never Loved a Man, you know, and Natural Woman. And I think from that point, anybody would be happy to go forward.
We're speaking with Bob Porter about the passing of Aretha Franklin. At the age of 76, how would you characterize her life outside of music?
I don't know much about it. She was raised, her father was one of the celebrated black preachers of all time, C.L. Franklin. He preached first in Memphis and later in Buffalo before coming to New Bethel Baptist Church in Detroit, where he was pastor for 30 years. And he was very much an influence in the city of Detroit by himself. She was raised in the company of show business greats, because people like Sam Cooke and Ray Charles and Arthur Pysock, they would stay at the Franklin home when they were performing in Detroit. And so she got to meet them all. She knew what the game was all about before she even got into it.
Bob, with the number of concerts that she had, anyone in particular that you attended that meant something more to you?
I only saw her once in concert, and that was, I guess, in the early 80s. It was in the late 80s. She was on Arista by that time. People forget that she was on Arista for a longer period than any other label. But her labels were so distinctive. The Columbia period, they're trying to make Dinah Washington out of her. At Atlantic, they're trying to put her back in church, what they did. And when Clive Davis took over at Arista in 1980, he wanted her to be a contemporary pop performer, and that's the direction they went. She could do it all and did it all.
Speaking with Russell Malone earlier today, he said he was so basically intimidated playing with her at a very young age. What is it about the mix? And then we also heard George Wein say it was when she, you know, when she was at the piano playing for herself that the magic happened.
Yes, very much so. She was a musician before she was a singer. People don't know that she played piano in church, too. So she was, and on her Atlantic record, she played piano on everything. I don't know that that's true of the Columbia or the Arista material, but on Atlantic, she played piano on everything.
Now that she has passed, what would you say, if you could sum up her legacy, what would that be?
For her time, the best singer, male or female. I think of her primary period, the period that she's best is probably 67 to 70. But even in the mid-70s, even on some of the Arista stuff, she could reach back and really bring it home. You know, the fact of the matter is she never lost the ability to communicate. But if the records weren't always good, that was almost never her fault. It was the fault of a conception or an arrangement or bad songs or something like that.
Did you ever get the opportunity to interview her?
No. Never did, but I interviewed many people who knew her and had worked with her and even produced her.
Bob, if you did have the opportunity to interview Aretha Franklin, what would you have asked her?
Well, I would have asked her if there's anything that she hasn't done yet that she really wants to move to the top of the list. For somebody who has done so many things and done them so well, was there anything that she felt she missed out on or hadn't done yet to her satisfaction? I'm always interested in people who are great as to how they think, you know. And with her, what can you say about her? I mean, the interesting thing is you can go back to the Columbias, and everybody used to put down the Columbias saying, "Oh, they're just trying to make pop singers out of her." But if you listen to her singing on some of those records, ooh, it's as good as Nancy Wilson from that time. It's as good as Carmen McRae from that time. It's by itself, obviously, it's singular. But the fact of the matter is, in terms of quality, she's right up there.
Anything else you'd like to add, Bob?
Well, there aren't many left, are there? There are simply not many left. You would hope that a next generation would come along and produce somebody of that stature. I don't think it's going to be easy, but I'd love to see it happen.
Bob Porter, thanks for your time.
Okay, Doug, thank you.